What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Changing for the better, we're on it. Available from 10:30 a.m. at participating restaurants. See our website for details.
You're listening to AFL Nation. For 4-20 Pies, Australia's original fan food. And Tyre Power. Power up sale now on.
It has become the nation's most cherished day, dedicated to remembrance and commemoration through dawn services right the way around the country. Here we have shared in the Gallipoli service on the big screen. And one of the modern centrepieces is the service at the MCG before more than 90,000 fans. It's always a stirring ceremony, and it's followed by the celebration of a football game with that appropriate sense of gratitude for what has gone before. It has grown into this thunderous stage, more than 95,000 last year. Today it is the grandest day on the home and away fixture. Welcome to the MCG on Anzac Day as we gather with Essendon and Collingwood fans. The Army Band has already played. There'll be a motorcade of veterans representing every living generation shortly, as has been the case at marches around the country throughout the day. Jared Waitley with you. Jared Healy is with me. Hello to you, Jared.
Good afternoon, Jared, and it's a real privilege to be here. I haven't been here for a long, long time, but Anzac Day holds so many great memories. You know, my memories go back to when my grandfather, Bill O'Brien, who fought in New Guinea, marched down St Kilda Road and went there many, many years, year after year, and played on Anzac Day here in front of about 70,000 against Carlton one year. And was at the first game as it is now, and hasn't it become just a masterpiece and a centrepiece of our country in many respects, and certainly of our sport.
It is, Dwayne Russell, a great privilege to be here on this day, and it's unmissable each time you arrive for it.
Yeah, it makes you think it's a privilege to be alive as well when you hear some of the stories of days gone by. And yet, when you're Jared's age and my age, you do have people who fought. My grandmother's still alive. She's 98. She was in the work camps in Germany back in the Second World War, so she's still with us. And I've probably told you the story before, but she's got Alzheimer's now. But about 25 years ago, I sat down with her for 2 hours with a tape recorder and just recorded her story, asked her a heap of questions because I wanted to know. And it's a great day for those stories to be handed down, I think, for all those grandchildren that are with their grandparents right now or have spent today with them and will spend tonight with them to hear their stories and understand what it was like 50, 60, 70 years ago, because those stories, they need to be told and hopefully will never be lost.
RSLs are such a big part of today, and war memorials right around the world where Australians found their theatres of war and fought to provide us with the country that we have today. And then the footy's found its place. So 1995, yep. Jared, Kevin Sheedy, football had always been part of Anzac Day. It was just a public holiday.
It was, yeah.
Kevin Sheedy got together with the RSL. You would have arrived for Channel 7, not quite sure what it was going to be, and suddenly you've got pictures of 20,000 people locked out, and we end up with an iconic draw, and away we go.
Yeah, it was a great masterstroke. I think Gubby Allen and Sheeds were involved collectively, and the RSL. It was a masterstroke by those guys, and we didn't know what to expect when we turned up. I just assumed it was going to be just your average game. Big Collingwood crowd, big Essendon crowd, but it started with a bang, and the draw was emblematic of what this is all about, and that the footy's great, the result's important, but the day is the most important. And a draw seemed fitting on that particular day where everybody was a winner.
Yep, and we've been speaking with those throughout the week who have been to every one since.
Yep.
They were fortunate enough to have the foresight to be here in 95, and they haven't given up the privilege ever since.
No, it's hard to get a ticket. It's the scalpers are out there, but it is very difficult to get a ticket. But it is different to grand finals because there's a big, big local fraternity. I mean, there's a big Essendon crowd today because it's their home ground, and there's a big Collingwood fraternity here because they just get a big crowd wherever they go. So there'll be a huge roar either way, whether it's a goal for the Bombers, and let's hope there's plenty of goals, unlike last night where there were very few goals, particularly in the first half. And there'll be a huge roar if the Magpie Army get up and about. And it's a really interesting game, Jared, because as much as Collingwood were impressive after quarter time last week, they've been less than impressive most of the year. And we're not quite sure whether last week was the turning point or whether it was, you know, just guys getting a feel good again. And the Bombers have been working really hard. Their defences last week was the best ever under Brad Scott. So they've got some players in the middle who have turned their... that actually given the edge to the Essendon edge. It was a myth before these two blokes started coming through. They have given it the edge, Caldwell and Durham, and let's hope that they bring it again today and edge meets edge.
There is a folklore that's built up around this subset of games, Duane. Part of it is the Anzac Medal and the greats who have passed through, Nathan Buckley and James Hurd, and the modern-day greats who are still here, Pendlebury and... Merritt and Parrish are trying to play their role in winning. Dane Swan's such a big part of the day. So these do exist sort of outside the overall, and it's the great privilege of the players of these two teams to get to be part of it.
Yeah, Mark McGough, I think, is another one of those. You find out about players, you don't just find out about teams. It's a perfectly placed moment in the season as well. We're 6-7 rounds in normally, and it comes at that point where we're starting to get a reasonable sample size to know what teams are like. But Jared summed it up well. I still can't quite work out Essendon yet, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they're like on the big stage today against the reigning Premier. So we might, you know, get a realisation that Essendon is a contender this year today, but we might also get a reality check. If you're an Essendon fan, you might be ready for the reality check. But the beauty is we come here almost like showdowns are and derbies are. You don't really know. The ladder position doesn't really tell you, even though if you look at the ladder position right now, it tells you Essendon has had a better start of the season than Collingwood. But, yeah, the ladder position or where you think these teams are placed doesn't really decide who wins this game, because it's up for grabs for anyone on any given Anzac Day. That's the beauty of it.
And just on that point, Duane, I think it's well made. Has there ever been a bigger upset in a derby showdown or Anzac Day than what we had last week? I mean, it was just, have a look at this.
And one person as well can change the fortunes. You mentioned Corbaugh. Corbaugh's been around the block a long time. But... and Durham, another one who was plucked out of either a mid-season draft or a rookie list. Yeah. So they got him out of nowhere that anybody could have grabbed him. And here he is, almost the heart and soul of their edge, as you mentioned. I'm still trying to work it out. Jared, you've been in this game a long time. Is it recruiting? Is it the development system? Or is it the coaching? I'm still trying to work it out, because maybe if Essendon do get some improvement, some development out of these next tier players like Corbett and Durham, then they are living in a different world.
Well, there's no question Durham has been a great pick, and Adrian Dodoro has kept his head pretty low this year. He's not getting any credit for Durham at this stage, but I suspect he may have been the one, and he certainly was the one who picked out Caldwell, who has taken a little bit of time because he's had some injuries, but gee, his form has been unbelievable in the last few weeks, to the point where they are just stripping the opposition of the ball. They're not getting first use of the ball, and I mean, Goldie's not giving them silver service, either is Sam Draper, but they are the best side right now at taking first possession off the opposition and scoring. And they're doing it, those two boys are doing it basically by themselves.
And Target recruited a couple of other guys, you know, to have Mackay, and
he's been a win.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got to give them credit for that, and maybe we're about to see, you know, the growth of... well, Sam Draper's got some pressure on him, I think, to perform, given Goldie's form as well. And I think Goldie probably is good for Sam Draper's own development. So he's got to lift his work rate. And there's some other guys who, you know, I really enjoy watching play. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Jake Stringer's contract, but he plays, it seems to me that he plays better when he's hungry and he doesn't have a long time left on his contract.
Giving 3-week contracts to him.
Yeah, and Harrison Jones is one that I...
Harry's
going
well,
week.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks a player for the future, and he's taken a little bit of time, but so do most skinny kids that come in that have to play that role.
Whereas we know just about everything there is to know about Collingwood in some ways.
They've got some issues, though, Duane. I mean, you know, they've got a few blokes who found a little bit of form, like DeGoey last week, but they've got a fair few blokes having poor seasons right now, and it's only early. But today's a pretty good day to rebound that season, including their captain. Their captain's going poorly. The last three quarters last week was a little bit better, but before that his form was right off. And Billy Frampton's been the one. He's been really killing them down the back line.
And Horny, on your show, Jared on Sports Day, gave us the numbers on DeGoey. Played well last week, but his numbers have been pretty down.
Yeah,
300 and something.
I spoke to him today. He said he was something like the 360th best player in the competition. I mean, there's not that. There's not much far to plummet down there.
No.
Horny doesn't miss you.
It's
when
only
he goes
800
after
in the
you.
Comp.
But, I mean, clearly, you know, there's upside, and what better venue and forum to really find your best form today.
I think Lachie Neal came from somewhere there to win the Brownlow last
year. Yes, he did, yeah. And I think Lachie, so I'm not sure whether the champion were right or the umpires were right.
So we're watching Essendon go through some limbering up. Are you a buyer on Draper, Goldstein and Wright, which is a big part of today?
I don't think they're losing out on anything. I mean, I don't think Goldie and Draper are giving them as much as perhaps some are suggesting, but nevertheless, Draper has got the capacity to just turn on a blinder. I love his enthusiasm. I think he's a spiritual leader of this group, so I'm not surprised he kept them in. And I think Brad Scott would realise that Darcy Cameron's having a fantastic year. He'd be in the top five ruckman in the competition. Certainly he is with Champion Data, and he is a guy that they need to wear down. They've got Mason Cox as well, and you know, they've just gone back to what they think is works best for them, to have 2 metre Peter, best and fairest winner, coming out of that front half. And it's a good structure if it works. And I'm not surprised. So I'm not so much a buyer, but I can understand why it's been selected.
So we talked pre-season about if they went with five interchanges instead of four in the sub, would teams play a second specialist ruck? We saw last night Richmond went with a second specialist ruck. What do you suspect, Jared? If we had five interchanges instead of four in a sub, or we had six interchange, would teams just keep adding an extra midfielder? Or do you think they'd actually end up playing a specialist ruck? Because it seems like more midfield rotations is what most coaches want.
Yeah, I think that's true, Dwayne. I think if the key person you've got to find in footy, one of the keys, is the second ruck option. And preferably, he's either a really big midfielder, he's like the steeplechaser down at Geelong, or he's a bit like Van Rooyen, who, you know, he's not having a great season at the present time. But if you've got a bloke who can play tall forward, even if he's a second option, go on the ruck, well, they're worth their weight in gold. So outside of that, if you're playing two rucks, you'd hope that you've got two good ones, but there's just not that many good ruckmen out there, Dwayne, that can impact at ground level. And
so we're not going to ever see, unless we've got nine interchange or something, a team actually pick a second specialist ruck.
Well, if they can impact at ground level, I mean, let's be honest, the hit-outs to advantage, you know, they're gems when they work, but they're rare. They're very rare. And I don't think you can make a living out of being a hit-to-advantage ruckman.
Well, Riley O'Brien is the number one in the comp this year for hit-outs, and he was number one last year. But I think he's 15th for possessions and about 10th for ruckman clearances. Yep. So, and around the ground, marks, I think he's about 12th or 13th for marks as well. So, yeah, that's the issue even with the first ruck.
If I had to pick my perfect second ruck, it's Joe Danaher.
Okay.
Joe Danaher is the, you know, I think he's the bloke that I'm looking for. If I'm coaching any club, I'm going to say to my recruiters, go and find me a Joe Danaher. I don't care if he's a 10 out of 10 forward. As long as he's a 7 out of 10 forward, but he can be a 7 out of 10 ruckman as well. Mm. Fantastic. Now, Joe's better than a 7 out of 10 when he's playing well. But he's the, is it the word, archetypical?
Archetypal, nice. Yep.
That'll do me. He's the guy I'm chasing.
Yeah.
As opposed to Mason Cox, who is only that 5 out of 10 forward.
Oh, I think he's, yeah, maybe a bit better than that, Dwayne. But, you know, I think Mason Cox is it's just a fantastic, he was a fantastic potential pickup for a club.
So he's good around the ground. 3 or 4 years ago. Good enough around the ground to get his value there, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think whatever the balance is, Mason Cox has got it.
It's been interesting to watch. So a couple of teams have gone with their two against Collingwood specifically. Fort came in to join McInerney and it was a disaster. And then last week, Sweet came in to join Soldo and it was just bust.
Yeah.
Now, Essendon have been playing these two together before they do meet Collingwood.
But both Collingwoods can play forward.
Yeah.
When Darcy Cameron can go forward and take a mark, he's a great recruit when you think about it, and a big bust for the Swans to let him go without playing him. And Mason Cox, under this new coach, he's capable in the forward line and he's very capable in the ruck.
De Koning, such a capable forward for Carlton, that works when Pitnett comes in.
We're going to see De Koning on De Koning.
I would think so. Yeah, for it's going to be good, portions. Isn't it? Yeah.
Speaking of archetypal, he is probably the guy, De Koning.
Yeah,
he's the new guy that you probably want, that style that you're talking about. And there's a few of them that are, I think, developed. I mean, Geelong developed Blitzarves into that player.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of some coaches now. Here's what we want you to be. Hey, we're going to sign Pitternet in a long-term deal. That doesn't mean Pitternet's the number one ruck. It just means that Pitternet's a backup. If the Koning development idea doesn't work, well, the De Koning development idea has worked beautifully.
Yes, I mean, the Swans have taken a ruckman with their first draft pick. And, you know, there's question marks around that. But if he turns out to be, you know, an A grader, well, it's a great investment. But most guys are picking rucks with, you know, letting someone else develop them and then go and get them and developing them. And, you know, the captain of the Tigers, he's a classic example. The Tigers pinched him from Sydney again. And he's turned in, you know, in the back half of his career to be absolutely fantastic for them.
So now Kervis and Naismith got in each other's way last night. They couldn't do anything to nullify Gorn. Naismith, who's kicked three goals in his career, was the full forward. He managed to get it twice and never looked like kicking the goal.
They were desperate, though, Richmond.
Yeah. Like the theory for that is...
Go on.
Well, the theory is just he's there to bring the ball to ground. Mm. Then they're not hoping that he... Well, they're not expecting him to mark it. But ultimately... It's rarely worked when two foot ruckmen who can't play forward actually work.
So what does Boulder end up doing for Richmond? I'm trying to work them out long term as well. Richmond off the back of last night. I suppose we'll talk more about last night later.
We will. We'll come back through that. So AFL Nation today for 4 and 20 Pies, Australia's original fan food and tyre power. Power up sale now on the Demons victorious over Richmond last night. So we'll go through that. The chief executive of the Bombers is about to join us on the AFL Nation pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumonts have everyday low price tiles from 1995.
You're listening to AFL Nation for 4 and 20 Pies, Australia's original fan food and tyre power. Power up sale now on.
When Macca's decided to drop the McCrispy burger with 100% Aussie chicken, a soft glazed bun, crunchy in our new McCrispy burger, changing for the better, we're on it. Available from 10:30 a.m. at participating restaurants. See our website for details.
You're listening to AFL Nation for 4 and 20 Pies, Australia's original fan food and tyre power. Power up sale now on.
It's Anzac Day at the MCG. Our AFL Nation coverage is for 4 and 20 Pies, Australia's original fan food and tyre power. Power up sale now on. Essendon's chief executive, Craig Vozzo, is with us in the box. Craig, it's great to have you on AFL Nation. Welcome.
Thanks, Jude. Thanks for having me, guys.
Just give us a picture of the sheer immensity of the day from your perspective. There's a relatively fresh set of eyes to it.
Yeah, look, until I was saying to someone in the function we were just in then, in our president's function, you don't realise till you get here the enormity of it. So we start through the week, there's plenty of things on. We had a shrine visit for our new staff, new players. Leading into today, our Essendonian coterie had 1,200 people at the Palladium and then into our president's function here. And we were privileged enough to have a chat from the RSL address us, which was great. And yeah, it's a massive day until you're sort of part of a club here in Melbourne, Essendon or Collingwood, you don't understand the enormity of it.
So you know one of the biggest fixtures, and that's the Derby a couple of times a year. Is this elevated beyond that?
Yeah, I feel this is a day that unites the nation. So it's far less selfish than perhaps, you know, the colours, West Coast and Fremantle or you know, at the Adelaide game as well, but this is massive. It unites a nation, the day itself, and these teams have the privilege, the honour of hopefully bringing some connection back to community.
Have you found the season? You've had it's a pretty good position to be in at 4 and 2, yeah. But a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't looking that flash after you walked off after the Port Adelaide game.
Yeah, look, going into that game, we were pretty confident that we're going to play well, and where that led to, who knows. But the second half was disappointing. But probably when you segment it, we've had one bad half over the 6 weeks.
Yep.
And Connor Rosie in that midfield was pretty good that night.
There he was.
We couldn't win a CBD, and that hurt us a lot. So overall, very happy at 4 and 2. We've had quite a lot of travel through that period, and I played quite a lot of teams around us. So yeah, we'll take that every day of the week.
And the noise around the club, I mean, if I was observing from the outside, as I am, I would say that the CEO, well, the one thing he has done is settle the noise down, and that always goes hands in hand with the coach and the playing performance. But at 4 and 2, it's been you know, 90% positive.
Yeah, look, coming to the club, there was obviously a fair bit of trauma before Brad and I got to the club. So the stability required at all levels, the unity, to basically move in the same direction in a united way was really important to us. And it gives the team the opportunity to grow and hopefully the club to prosper in the long term.
So why did it appeal to you as a job, Craig? And is it the job that you imagined it was going to be? Or once you got inside the doors, is it every club's got its own characteristics? Was a little different?
Yeah, the appeal was Essendon. Yeah, the club itself and the history of the football club was a big thing in my decision making. The opportunity to help the club hopefully improve and get back to where it's been in the past. So that was a massive thing in my decision making. The club itself, the enormity, learning about the history of the club, the 150 odd years that we've been around has been amazing. And the span and the scope across Australia, largely driven through Kevin's era. We've got supporters all around the country and passion all around the country. So we're very lucky in that regard. So the old club is obviously a very big club, like this club, but a different big.
How do you build on that? I mean, we've all lived through the Sheedy era, and we all understand how he took the game to the far reaches of the country and did so much with indigenous communities, and particularly the players, along with Michael Long. But how do you now take it to the next level?
Yeah, well, I think there's two things. One, obviously our football team needs to play a brand of football that it is successful over the journey and brings people along. A new group of heroes would be the way I'd probably put it. That's really important to any national footprint. And then the respect that we show our community, our fans, our members, our supporters across the country, how we engage each time we travel interstate, how we engage in our community locally as well. We had a recent trip in January for our VFL and VFLW teams up to Darwin, which was the first time, other than the COVID game, that our club's been there since, I think, 1997 or 8. So that was a big thing. We took a number of our AFLW players across to the Tiwi, and just learning about that experience and the impact Essendon's had in those areas, those communities, was massive. So we'll do our best both on and off the field to make sure we take advantage of of what's been given to us.
Recruiting was a bit of a flashpoint for when you got here, and you've made some changes, but recruiting has almost single-handedly changed the face of Essendon over the last couple of weeks. Where did Caldwell and where did Durham come from? Who gets the badge of honour for that?
Yeah, I mean, the one's a trade and one's a mid-season draft.
Yeah.
So our recruiting team at that stage, led by Adrian Dodoro and Rob Forster Knight, did a great job in both the draft process, the mid-season draft with Sammy. He came across from Richmond VFL. Jai, obviously coming across from the Giants, was a star, probably amongst a lot of stars in their midfield. So probably a lack of opportunity, a Victorian boy, and we were able to get him across to our club, and they're making a huge difference.
The overall, which you speak about there, is the count is on for Essendon to return to finals success. Now, you're new to it, and so too is Brad. How do you absorb the outside, the supporter group impatience, acknowledge it, but temper it that you're new to the wheel and have to be given time to properly grow it?
Yeah, look, it's just sticking to what we feel is our process. I know that's a very boring word, but building the foundations to allow us to have that sustained success over the journey. And don't get us wrong, we're aspirational. We want to win as many games as we can and we want to play finals. But we don't focus as that's the end point of what we do each day, each week, each month. And that's the process that Brad's adopted within the footy department. And the players are very much engaged and thinking in that way.
It's not an eight-year build to that, though, is
no,
it?
No, that eight-year thing, that was a complete misquote. It's really disappointing, actually. I've spoken about this publicly before. His comment was, we've got a group of young men who are capable of playing together for the next 8 years, rather than, you know,
going to take 8 years.
It was a ridiculous headline, to be honest.
So just how many years till the flag?
Be about 43.
Do you want to clarify it then for all of us? How many years till the flag?
Well, as soon as we can.
Right.
That's a good answer.
It does seem like below the surface, like you need to be a troubleshooter. You've got Sheeds, who was vocal on the coach, still on the board. There's people that object to that. There's fans who don't like what Adrian Dodoro has brought to the club. And there's a bubbling up of we haven't recruited well enough. There's also the scandal of 10-odd years ago, which tends to bubble up every now and then. There seems like these little waves can rock the boat at any moment.
Yeah, it depends which day you get,
yes.
which group you're in front of. And you're quite right. Look, from a board perspective, I couldn't be happier with the support I've had from the entire board, the stability, the skill set across it, Kevin included. He's been only very positive for me and the football club. I know there's been, you know, things that have popped up from time to time before we got there, Brad and I, one just before Brad got there. But the board's been great. Internally, we've made substantial change across the footy department. We feel we've built the capability of the department. We've brought quite a few senior people into it, and we feel we'll continue to do that as we assess our gaps moving forward. But no, look, troubleshooting sometimes. I think that's all CEOs have to do, that sort of work from time to time, maybe a bit more at a bigger club that engages more people. And we're no different at Essendon.
It's a really long season now and seems to be getting longer each year. Would you put your request in to be part of Zero Round because it gives you an early season bye?
We were engaged in that process, Jared, and we were happy to play in round zero if that's what the AFL yep. wanted. But we did want to make sure our fixturing moving forward was a fair fixture versus the opposition we play. So not so much, you know, placing a bye in a certain spot, but more the regularity of games relative to our opposition as we move from that point.
Do you expect that opening round will happen in the same guise? Do you have a read on that yet?
I suspect it would be at least that, possibly more games. I think the AFL enjoyed the experience of it and what it brought to Queensland and New South Wales, as opposed to a gather round in South Australia. And engaging those communities is really, really important for the game itself. So I suspect it will at least be in that form, if not an expanded version.
You've had a lot of experience, obviously, in the West. Would you like to see the opening round over there, or would you like to see, gather round in Perth? Do you think it would work as well?
I think it would work very well in Perth as well.
Yep.
But it's working exceptionally well in Adelaide. It's that small town, you know, 1.3 million people. You bump into each other in the streets. Mm. So Perth's a different formation, but I'm sure it would be equally successful if it went to Perth.
Across the landscape, it feels like we're all waiting to learn the next iteration of the illicit drugs policy. Are you expecting substantial reform to what's in place now? Do you have a read on how that's likely to evolve?
We've been involved in discussion groups, more around content of existing and improvement areas. I expect there'll be change. Whether it's extensive, I'm not sure. But I'm looking forward to knowing more soon.
Would you like to know more within the policy? So as well as knowing what the policy is going to do, what is your stance around what a club can and should and would be useful to know?
Yeah, I'd love to be in a position to be able to assist players at an earlier opportunity in a highly confidential way, is my thought.
Does such a thing exist in footy?
Well, it depends on people, really, at the end of the day. So you can form any policy and then it's up to people to enact it and to act properly within its confines. I like the idea of helping players and caring and looking after their well-being. So to the extent that we can have a bigger role, perhaps earlier, in that process, in a confidential way, I'd love to be able to do that.
And Craig, a couple of your contract issues. So Andy McGrath, it was reported around a six-year contract. Is that accurate? Is that what you're working towards with him?
I think at the moment that's been the discussion. I'm not involved in the actual discussion itself. We're certainly keen to make sure Andy stays at our football club long term, and he's playing as well as I've ever seen him play. So I think it'll be a long-term contract.
And you wouldn't feel any tension around that one, I would think. Of all the contracts across the league, that seems like the most formality of all.
He's a cultural driver and a wonderful man, and we're lucky to have him in our football club.
Yeah, we spoke to him on radio after a really bad loss last year, and he was as good an interview as I've ever been a part of with a player. He was terrific, so I'm not surprised to hear you say that.
Yeah. And what about Jake Stringer and how you deal with maybe the... maybe a shorter term issue there.
We were discussing 2 or 3 week contract.
Yeah, look, I've got to say, and Brad's mentioned this too, he's put in a massive effort to continue to improve body-wise. He was unlucky. This time last year, he was in red-hot form. His Anzac Day game was terrific. He suffered a plantar fasciitis injury at the end of last year, or in the back half of last year, which impacted his ability to train and his form. So from my point of view, he's been doing everything he can to get better and to help the team. So we're hoping we can have Jake at the club moving forward, certainly well beyond this year, but that'll take its course through the year.
Your club's been linked with a couple of current North Melbourne players. Is that a reasonable linkage or not?
I think every North Melbourne player that Brad coached is always linked to our club. But if you're talking about a free agent next year that's been reported, I think there'll be probably 17 other clubs or 16 other clubs apart from us.
So you're not ruling yourself out?
Never. No. We always want to keep improving the list.
Craig, good to have you with us. Enjoy the day. It's a big one.
Thank you very much, guys.
Pleasure to be with you.
Craig Vozzo is the chief executive of Essendon. The motorcade of veterans is just completing its course around the MCG. More from here next.
Our entire menu, like in our new McCrispy burger. Changing for the better, we're on it. Available from 10:30 a.m. at participating restaurants. See our website for details.
You're listening to AFL Nation. For 4 and 20 pies, Australia's original fan food. And Tyre Power. Power up sale now on.
Something for Kate performing on the stage here at the MCG to an ever-growing crowd. It'll top 90,000. Expectations of about 92 on an overcast afternoon in Melbourne. AFL Nation is for 4 and 20 pies, Australia's original fan food. And Tyre Power. Power up sale now on. A glance back at last night. Melbourne had a 43-point victory at halftime. Well, Christian Petrarca told us in the aftermath that at halftime he would have gone to bed if he wasn't obliged to play. He was a bit underwhelmed
he
by
was,
it all.
Indeed.
They straightened themselves out and got the win they had to have.
Yeah, it was a pretty underwhelming game for all watching. And I sat through the lot, Jared, and at 3 goals apiece at halftime, I thought, oh, this is could potentially be very unsettling for Melbourne if they drop this one. And the Swans got beaten by Richmond at a time where they were slightly stronger, but not that much. And they can come back to bite you if you're looking for a top four position. So they steadied as we always expected they were and didn't play their best footy. But, I mean, there's games like this throughout every season. You just got to bank the win and get on with it. But I thought Richmond showed some talent. I think they've got some younger kids coming through quite nicely, but it's, until they get some of their serious players back, it's going to be a long and cold winter.
What are we to make of Disco Turner, who suddenly became a cult
Disco
hero?
Wasn't he impressive? I don't know what to make of him. I know his history in that he played seconds and they were grooming him to be a backman, and they threw him forward at a time of need at Casey 2 weeks ago. I think he missed last week with an injury, and then he came back and they just said, no, enough with you, Benny Brown, we're going to try Disco. And didn't he dance the light fantastic last night? 3 goals last night, pretty good. But Melbourne have got a lot of good young kids coming through as well. Howes is terrific. Jed McVee is terrific coming through. Only had 14 premiership players last night, so they are starting to roll them through. And, they've got themselves a really good young wingman. They're looking pretty good, the Demons, but certainly wasn't their best showing last night.
What of Harrison Petty as a forward?
Yeah, I would send Harrison back to the twos if they want to play him as a forward, because he's just not getting the job done at the present time. It looks to me like he is a good defender who went forward and went okay, but he's not a natural forward. He's not a natural goal kicker. He's not a natural forward. He can certainly play that role, as we've seen, but he hasn't played it often enough to me to be sort of banking him in. And at the moment, he really is struggling. So either finds the magic juice and turns it around in a hurry, or he's headed for a change of role somewhere.
What did you make of it all, Dwayne?
Yeah, you can't have too many experiments going on at the one time. I mean, you can experiment with one thing, like you might have. Well, they experimented with Caleb Windsor on a wing, and that's proven to be a great experiment.
Yeah,
let's
terrific.
Put this young kid on the wing, see how he goes, and it's been fantastic. Their forward line's been a work in progress for, well, it's 4 years understating it. it just seems like it was almost a makeshift forward line when they won the flag with Ben Brown forward, and they've had a number of players, Tom McDonald forward, back, etc. Turner's was great last night, but he's not going to be the long-term option either. You would think that might have been the one out of the box.
I was hoping Van Rooyen might explode a little bit more this season.
Yeah, I like the way he's playing in front a bit more. He's not trying to take the screamer like he was, I think, for a number of weeks last year. So, yeah, but I think if they can get an even contribution, even Cozzy's been up and down, I reckon, at times. I know he's been in and out of the side because of suspension. But, you know, Fritsch every now and then looks like he's the main guy. So, yeah, I think they can win the flag with the forward line they've got. I'm still trying to work out what it would look like on grand final day, what their six would look like on grand final day if they got there, because I still don't think Goody knows.
I'm sure he doesn't, but I know one thing, Bailey Fritsch, he is a fantastic player. I mean, he wasn't at his best last night. But
is he their best forward?
Oh, by a long way. Yeah. I mean, I think Bailey Fritsch is All-Australian forward, but he hasn't been recognised at the present time.
This is our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumont's has everyday low prices from 1995. Let's get our points bet update.
A points bet update. Points bet. Now with AFL Bet Tracker. Built different.
Julian Vilance is with us. Julian, welcome.
G'day, Jared. How are you?
This has been a pretty stagnant market all week.
It has. It just shows that the market loves one team, and the market refuses to accept that this other team is 4-2, and I speak of Essendon. $1.50 into $1.45 in the last half an hour at Collingwood. They're going back to other...
He's just struggling a lot. I think he was going to say people are yet to be convinced by the Bombers, and it's going to swing rapidly if the Bombers kick the first two goals. Mm.
Righto. So, Julian, just finish that thought for us.
It's just that they're going back to what Collingwood was last year, and the market just loves them. They're just thinking last week was perfect. They're going to continue on this merry way, but Essendon just keeps exceeding expectations. I think they should be a little bit closer, but it might just come down to...
Now, we might just leave it there. That's our points bet update.
A points bet update. Points bet's AFL experience with video previews, bet tracker, and last five stats. Points bet built different. What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. You're listening to AFL Nation for 4-20 Pies, Australia's original fan food. And Tyre Power. Power up sale now on.
Like in our new McCrispy burger. Changing for the better, we're on it. Available from 10:30 a.m. at participating restaurants. See our website for details.
You're listening to AFL Nation for 4-20 Pies, Australia's original fan food. And Tyre Power. Power up sale now on.
The joint banner, which has become such a fixture of this day right from the beginning, always remembered Essendon players who gave their lives on one side, Collingwood players who gave their lives on the other, the Anzac Appeal Shield in the middle, and the two teams marched together through that at the start of the day's affairs. AFL Nation is for 4-20 Pies, Australia's original fan food and tyre power. Power up sale now on. It's a big day for our broadcast. It's SEN Sync. Hopefully you've had a chance to sample that by now. So sync your TV and watch the game whilst listening to the AFL Nation call, available on the SEN app in partnership with Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise. And the new iteration of SEN Stadium has been gently rolled out, and it's there for you to take in. Today's the big test, 92,000. If you've got your earbuds and you are able to listen, so it doesn't rely on Wi-Fi anymore, so it won't drop out on you. It's a huge advancement from the boffins that has been made, and we would love to hear from you during the day as to how it's performing. 0433 98 11 16. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how it's going, and we'll give a shout-out to a bunch of you at halftime. And just spread the word around your terraces. Everyone's got their earbuds in their pockets these days. If you use the SEN app, SEN Stadium is there. And we're super confident that it's going to be terrific today. The big test of the biggest home and away stage of all. So we'd love you to stay in touch with us as the afternoon unfolds. 0433 98 11 16 to ping through your texts. This is not the only game today, Jared. What do you think of the idea in our nation's capital of the night game between the Giants and the Lions?
Well, I hope the people in the nation's capital like it, Jared. It's a great matchup. Both sides lost last week. Both sides are considered premiership contenders. Both sides have got some serious players out, but it's the Giants who are sitting much healthier on the ladder. So this is basically a cutthroat game for Brisbane. If they don't win this, then their best option is probably going to be, you know, the lower reaches of the lower part of the eight come finals time. There's no room for movement now. There's no errors that can be made. You can't drop more than four games and expect to finish in the top four. So I really do fancy the Brisbane Lions, but if they let themselves down again this week, then it's going to be a real struggle even to make the eight.
Yeah, you and I are aligned on that front. So there's a possibility they can go on a run here.
Yeah,
if they
yeah.
can get tonight in the bank and win five, be the right side of the, and be nestled in the eight. But if they fall 2-5, they're going to spend their whole year trying to get back to 50-50.
It's a bit like Sydney. I thought Sydney were gone last year at the halfway mark. They were. I can't remember exactly what their worst ratio was, but it wasn't much better than what the Lions are doing. But they somehow found a way in the second half. So too did Carlton. But it's so tight this year. You can't expect to go and beat everybody. It is so tight. Each 4 points, unless you're playing North Melbourne, each 4 points are, you know, worth eight. It's really tough. So it's a critical game for them. The Giants can afford to lose it to a degree, although they, you know, they dropped the game that they were in a winning position last week. So, and they've lost their captain. So it's, there's some excuses for them with no skipper out there, Toby Green, but you know, I don't think there's any excuses for the Lions.
Were they high up on your pressure meter, Dwayne, the Lions?
Yeah, number one.
Yeah.
I had four interstate teams, 1, 2, 3, and 4. I think there's a bit of pressure on Adelaide as well, obviously, because their season, if it hasn't slipped away, it'll be gone if they lose to North Melbourne and Hobart. Fremantle's an interesting one. They've won their first three and then lost their three after that, so they've got a pretty big game.
And two of those losses were really impressive losses, if they can be, but then they had a stinker last week.
Yeah, so Fremantle is in there, and just on the Giants, they weren't in there, but you're right. I mean, Hogan's in.
Yeah.
Sorry, no Taylor. Taylor's not playing, is he?
No.
Yeah, so no Taylor and no Green.
No Cornelia.
Yeah, so that's essentially their two best players at either end. So, yeah, they are vulnerable, I'm of that belief as well. But they draw a good crowd in Canberra.
Yeah,
normally,
they're
getting better crowds in Canberra than they are at Giants Stadium. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one tonight.
The big O's not going to be there, but Darcy Ford's a pretty good replacement. In fact, Jared, I did go through the second ruckman.
Oh, yes.
And they're not in order, but I'm going to start with number one, Joe Danaher. Then Pitnett. I think he is the second ruckman, even though he does play middle. McLean for the Swans. Cox for the Pies. Jackson for the Dockers, Riccardi Cadman for the Giants, Blitzarbs for Geelong, Van Ryan for Melbourne. West Coast haven't got one. Their second ruckman, Bailey Williams, is actually their first ruckman, and he played really well. Darcy and Lobb for the Bulldogs. Adelaide, I'm not sure, have got one, and that's where I ran out.
Yes, yeah. So you'd go Danaher, Jackson, Blitzarbs.
That'd be about right for the top three,
And Darcy will be the rising star in that group.
Yes, Darcy has got some work to do, but he's the rising star.
Yeah. All right, the Pies are out. Darcy Moore has led them out onto the fields. It's a Bombers home game, but the crowd will be pretty well split the way they sell the tickets to this game these days. Collingwood fans, if you're heading to Marvel for the game on Mother's Day, make sure you check out the special at Amphora, the new restaurant and bar located at Gate 3. Book in for lunch from 11, and all female guests get a glass of Moet on arrival. So Amphora there at Marvel. And then tomorrow night is Port Adelaide and St Kilda. So we're hearing that Max King won't play.
Yep.
And Soldo's going in for surgery. So he's going to miss
surgery.
4 or 5 weeks. And that means that Sweet will get his run as the first ruck for Port.
Yeah, it's a tough game. I mean, it's hard to go past Port at home. Sweet's a big opportunity for Sweet, Dwayne. He's been busting for his opportunity down at the Cattery, and he hasn't got it. Sorry, he was the Dogs, wasn't it?
The Dogs, yeah.
At the Dogs, and didn't get there. So this gives him an opportunity. He was all right in the ruck last week. He just couldn't do it when he went forward. So, and a big challenge for Port Adelaide, who are under the microscope now against sides above them, but this is one they should win.
Max King's prolonged absence is it's clearly problematic for the Saints.
Yeah, and I think as much as he's not the Coleman medalist, But they need infrastructure.
Yeah.
So that's the issue with a number of these players. I mean, you don't necessarily need them to win the game for you, but for structure, they're pretty important. I think Soto's pretty important for Port because I think in terms of their structure, for their midfield to be as good as it can be, sometimes they need a mature, experienced guy. So not having him, it's going to cost them a bit. And who will they... I mean, they don't have Dixon, or is Dixon back in? They haven't seen their team.
I think he's coming back in yet.
Yeah, so that's the other issue with Port Adelaide in terms of their overall lineup. They were thinking about playing Vizentini as well as a second ruck option, so we'll see if that comes to fruition. And Aaliyah apparently rolled his ankle a little during the week, so yeah, there's some issues Port Adelaide, but they do have it at home, and they're going okay apart from last week's last three quarters.
Why don't you think Ross would add Max King to our list of second ruckmen like Joe Danaher?
Now trying to work out, was it Ben King you wanted to go to halfback, not Max King? Okay, Ben King to halfback. Well, Ross. Well, who is Mitch Owens? Can't be second ruck again this year for the majority of the year.
They need a grand level in the middle.
They do.
You get some contested nut.
These things work occasionally, but they don't work consistently. I don't think if you're trying to pinch it with a Mitch Owens.
Zach Merritt's led the Bombers out. Judging by the roar, it is a slightly Essendon crowd for the time being. We're going to set you up for the ceremonies, for the commemoration, the teams to go through their joint banner, and then the true meaning of the day before we get to the football. That is all ahead of us on the pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. Beaumont's has everyday low prices from 1995.